Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
All right, welcome in to on the Unidentified Alien Podcast, UAP, episode number 16. I am Stephen Diener. Over there is Karen Curtis.
Hello.
And hi, Karen. And we have a lot of good stuff to get to here today, because if you heard the previous episode, we kind of teased the government. It all kind of sounds cliche when you say, well, the government and conspiracies and cover-ups, but there is some really intriguing things that when it comes to the government and their possible cooperation, stories that you may not have heard before when it comes to how much do they know and how much have they actually been working with aliens themselves?
Aliens on the inside of the Pentagon.
Hello. And how much are
Gorilla.
There actually, you know, different products the military uses to go by when it comes to when they come across different things like that? So,
well, they used to have them, but then they purged them.
Yes. So there's
we have a copy of it.
Oh, of course we do, because that's what we do here on UAP. So a lot to get to here on this subject today. But first, Karen, do you normally have like a little tidbit, any factoids today before we start?
I do. We just witnessed William Shatner, a.k.a. Captain Kirk, fly successfully to the edge of space.
That's right.
The final frontier, where no man has ever gone before, only he did it on television multiple times. But he did it today, actually, as we're recording this. And
right.
He's the oldest person to go into... Oldest astronaut. He's technically an astronaut.
Yeah, that's true.
Oldest astronaut to go into space.
Yeah, 90 years old. So that was really cool to see. Like I said, as we're recording this, he went up today, so we can say today. So that was really cool to see, you know, the whole Captain Kirk angle and his cover of Rocket Man and things like that. So,
very cool to see. He said it was unlike what they described it. He said it was just amazing. Yeah. At 90, it's pretty amazing that he did that. It was 11 minutes, 4 minutes of which he was weightless. He experienced zero gravity. He could take off his harness and float around a little bit.
Right.
You know, that's pretty good for
him.
Oh,
amazing. Maybe we'll all get to do that one day.
Yeah, he beat out Wally Funk.
Yeah, that's right. Wally Funk when she went up on the first Blue Origin flight. But it
was like 82.
Yeah, I think so. But, you know, that's something that I suppose maybe different government officials or aliens have experienced before on their way back and forth from Earth. And, you know, you might be wondering, what if these military personnel, what are they told, right? Say you're just starting. Say you're in the Air Force and you're just starting and you wonder, gee, you know, you goof around with your buddies. Oh, what if we come across aliens or UFOs?
What's the protocol?
Right. Well,
I mean, what's the protocol for just Joe Blow who's wandering around and stumbles on an aircraft that's crashed and it looks like a UFO, like a, you know, Area 51 type of situation.
And then all of a sudden the black helicopters and the black trucks start gathering around you.
Because last week we talked about those girls in Brazil. They thought this guy was either the devil or an alien who crashed.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
It does happen.
Right. The Varginha incident, if you want to go back and listen to that on episode 15.
Hairless, sweaty, red-eyed, three-armed person.
Not good. Not good. So that was definitely, it's the most famous case in Brazilian history. If you haven't heard the previous episode on episode 15, South America and Unexplained. But when it comes to this, you know, we started wondering, well, gee, you know, are there actual protocols? Well, yes, there are. There's an Air Force document that isn't widely publicized, so it's kind of hard to find info, but that's what we're here for.
Well, the Huffington Post actually asked about it in 2008, and after they asked it, and I guess they submitted a FOIA, Freedom of Information, the UFO section was completely erased.
Yeah, it's interesting because when this document first originally came out, first of all, it's called Air Force Instruction 10-206. And in the original instruction booklet, if you will, manual, there was instruction there. It's a known fact. There are different, you know, witnesses to this, that this is what they were taught on how to handle an alien crash site. UFO, UAP, on how to handle that crash site, how to report it, who to, you know, what superiors to speak with, things like that, how to, what you should and shouldn't touch.
Air Force personnel on what to do when they encounter any unknown airborne objects.
Correct. So that was, it was there. Now it's not. So it makes you wonder, they think, well, that wasn't supposed to go out to the public, and then they kind of took it out. But that was something that has been taught to the Air Force. I'm sure it still is, maybe more of a covert way, maybe not out in the open like they had in that instruction manual. Again, 10-026 if you want to do your own research on it. But yeah, it is something that we can confirm. The Air Force, branch of the military, was actively teaching, instructing their pilots on what to do when you come across, a situation like that.
And they put it in writing. Now, you might recall one of our previous episodes, we were talking about UFOs in 1969. They terminated the Air Force's Project Blue Book.
Right.
And so, you know, they weren't really talking about it. And then we started doing UAP because you have been just totally immersed in this topic for years and years and years.
That's
and
true.
Then the government came out with their report that since 2004, it just recently said, yeah, there's been at least 150 UFOs that have been sighted, and they validated it.
That's right. So when we kind of saw the opportunity, well, I guess we should start talking about this stuff. Maybe people won't look at us like we're crackpots anymore. So let's go ahead. I mean, they
speak
still do.
Yourself.
But yeah, exactly. They still do, but for other reasons. But you know, you make a good point, Karen, when it comes to Project Blue Book, that was the official government study into UAP, UFOs, you know, all these different sightings. And officially, it went off the books in 1969. They told people that they stopped investigating. The government no longer is investigating the UAP phenomenon anymore as of 1969. Well, that's obviously a lie, considering that they just did a whole entire investigation. But yeah, I mean, there's always some type of investigation or intrigue or interest from the U.S. government when it comes to aliens and UFOs and other worlds.
Yeah, we have up at the website, a50wftl.com, under our UAP blog, the 2008 version of AFI 10-206 that referenced UFOs on page 37. So you can look at it there.
Good.
And then it was taken away once the Huffington Post said, hey, wait a minute, what is this?
Right. And they said it with the British accent as well.
The military essentially shut the book on flying saucer research, and they concluded there was nothing here, nothing going on. And that's not true.
No, gosh, no. And now we know that for sure, because even the government themselves, with that congressional investigation, like we said, came out, you know, a few months back and said, yeah, well, there are things that are unexplained, and you know, we don't know what they are. So yes, of course, all of this has really, I hesitate to say proven to be true, but you can't say it's not true, right?
Right.
we can say that. And when it comes to the instruction manual itself, yes, that is true. That was in writing. So again, I can't stress it enough. The Air Force had instruction to its pilots on how to handle UFO crash sites and any recovery efforts and superiors to report to. It's pretty significant. Why would they put that in there if none of it is real?
I mean, they were told if you came across anything that you don't recognize,
right,
note altitude, direction of travel, speed, description of flight path and maneuvers, what first called attention to this object, and how long was the object visible, and how did the object disappear? So basically what you saw. And the eyes in the skies and on the ground were commanded to treat a UFO as if they had just seen a missile, hostile aircraft, or unidentified submarine. Hmm. And all the details were required to be included in a report to NORAD,
American
Aerospace Defense Command that tracks Santa,
right,
and protects the airspace over the U.S. and Canada. But so the Huffington Post, as I said, in 2008, made inquiries to the Air Force about the UFO directives, and a spokesperson said I'll arrange an interview with an appropriate officer.
Hmm.
And before the interview was set up, the 111-page instruction manual was revised on September 6th. Huffington Post asked on September 2nd, 2008, and the UFO instructions were deleted
4 days later,
as were the other portions of the document, now shortened to 40 pages. pages.
And that's true, that it is 40 pages, because I was actually reading through, I know that's what I was doing with my free time yesterday, I was reading through Air Force Instruction Manual 10-026, and I realized, hey, this thing's only 40 pages, and like you're right, it was 111 pages. Now, maybe that's some of this, you know, taking away 71 pages has to do with there's just less to go over, maybe they streamlined some things, different protocols. Protocols always change in the military, so that could be some of it. But you can't deny that they did take out the UFO instruction part. It's just gone.
Yeah. Wow. That's scary.
And it's not like they took it out because, oh, we made a mistake, we didn't mean to include that. They took it out after the Huffington Post called them out on it.
We want to talk to someone about, hey, instruction manual. Yeah, there's so many weird things going on. And then there was something called the Majestic 12.
Right. Yeah, so this kind of connects to all of that, because the Majestic 12, so to give you a background here, Karen, the Majestic 12 was supposedly a group that was made up during President Truman's top secrets, you know, investigations into UFOs and all that.
So that would have been 1947.
Right. So we're looking around 1947, a couple years after
Roswell.
Yeah, exactly. The Roswell crash, 2 years after the war ended, you had the atomic bomb and everything in Japan. So
I mean, this was a truly all-star cast.
Yeah, so again, according to the theories, this has never been definitively proven, but you have people who swear by this, who say they have inside information, whether it's family members or close friends or relatives, who say yes, this was real. We're talking people like
now it's not the Magnificent Seven.
No,
it's the Majestic 12.
The Majestic 12.
And we're not
yes.
talking about the apostles.
No, not those. No Paul or Peter here, but we are talking about the Bushes.
Yeah, there's a Bush in there.
There is Vannevar Bush. James Forrestal, who is the Secretary of Defense, I believe, and also,
yes.
I mean, you're talking.
You had the CIA guys in there.
Right.
Defense, outstanding scientists, military leaders.
And how about Hoyt Vandenberg? Vandenberg Air Force Base, ring a bell?
Oh, sure.
So you're talking the top military brass, top Roscoe scientists. These were huge names. And we'll have the names also on the blog on 850WFTL.com. We search UAP on the podcast section. We'll have the names on there so you can look through and be like, holy cow, these are all the guys that were supposedly part of the Majestic 12. And It's a little eye-opening, you know, if you want to buy into it.
And Johnny Manziel. No.
No.
Donald Manziel.
Not Johnny Football. But it is something that kind of makes you think, well, if a group like this was going to exist to investigate UFOs, it would make sense that names like these would be involved. These were pretty big names at the time. But of course, Karen, of course, you're not going to have, you know, government agencies come out and say, oh, yes, the Majestic 12 was real.
Oh, they're not going to go in lockstep.
Exactly. You know, you're not going to have them coming out and saying, yes, this was real. We had a secret group called the Majestic 12 that may or may not have, you know, evolved into the CIA and other secret organizations.
Let me guess, it was the FBI.
The FBI. Yes, the FBI.
They say.
Oh, they come out and say, well, we've debunked this. This isn't true. There's no documents to prove that this group ever existed. So therefore, this entire theory is false.
And completely bogus.
Exactly. So that's their words.
An elaborate hoax.
Right. You can make up your own mind on who you want to believe or what you want to believe. And that's what we're here for. We're just giving you the details.
Instead of blaming, you know, aliens and UFOs, we blame the Russians.
Yes, exactly. Right.
It's a Russian hoax.
Right. Oh, sure. Yeah, of course. But the first four directors of the CIA, they were supposedly in this group, the first Secretary of Defense, like we said, James Forrestal there, and all the big, you know, scientists and military leaders were all supposedly part of this group and cover-up, because part of the mission, supposedly, allegedly, of the MJ-12, as they're called, if you shortened Majestic to MJ, they called them MJ-12, one of their main goals was to cover things up, not only to investigate, but to find out the truth and then cover it up and use the technology for the U.S.'s own military exploitations, if you will.
Well, you know, we talked about ancient aliens as well, and we love Giorgio Tsoukalos. He sat down with an investigative journalist.
Mm-hmm.
She, by the way, she looks like she's like 500 years old, but anyway.
That's all right. maybe she's an ancient alien.
She thinks and goes over the most informative leaked Majestic 12 documents in this clip that I'm about to play. Do you know what an EBE is?
Yes, actually, I do. But I can let her explain. That's, do you want
no,
me to
you
say?
Need to, because I think okay. I cut it out and don't have it in there.
Oh, okay.
She talks about EBEs.
It's a...
extraterrestrial biological entity.
That's the one.
Yeah. So here she is talking with Giorgio.
That we are dealing with collaboration. That there must be some agreement between the United States and the extraterrestrials. Possible contact may take place as a result of overtures by the entities themselves. In these instances, it is anticipated that encounters will take place at military installations or other obscure locations selected by mutual agreement.
And she's reading from a document about EBEs from 1954.
Right.
And we've talked about this.
Yes. And this goes back to actually around the same time where we had a different episode. If you want to go back, you could always go back and search the previous episodes of UAP on Apple, Spotify, or 850WFTL.com. You can find them all there because we had an episode called Presidents and Aliens. And that we detailed the meeting of then-President Eisenhower, a supposed meeting anyway, between...
With the Nordic, right?
With Nordics and with Greys out in California. So I believe in the Palm Springs area.
But not a Venusian.
No, and we'll get to those in a little while. Thank you for mentioning that. That's the kind of our highlight for today.
It is. You don't want to miss it.
You'll hear that in a few minutes. But the timeline works here, Karen. You're talking 1954.
Right.
That document, that specific document she was reading from you know, the Majestic 12, supposedly, talking about how we need to meet up with the aliens, determine a meeting place, talk about all these different things, you know, technologies and whatever. And that falls in line on the same timeline with the meeting that Eisenhower supposedly had with the Greys and the Nordics.
Or he went and had his cap replaced after
he
bit onto a chicken wing.
Yes, that is the official response from the White House, is that he chipped a tooth as to why he went out in the middle of the night randomly to an Air Force base.
Right.
That's correct. So, but it is, it's just one of those things that makes you... It makes you think twice, you know, when it comes to you start putting the pieces together. What I found interesting about that, too, with the document that she read from, that was, again, a document given to her from different family members who said, yes, my family member was part of this secret organization, the MJ-12. And she was able to match up with people who worked in, you know, these military bases where the document may or may not have been typed up. The way that the ink was on the document, the way that the letter U was placed, matched up with how other things were typed up on that typewriter that would have been used at that time. And she spoke to the guy that, the you know, I guess you could say typist, is that the term for it, who would, you know, was in charge of doing all these documents.
The transcriptionist.
Yes. And you can tell we don't use typewriters that much anymore in 2021. And he basically confirmed to her and said, yes, the way that U is placed, that happened because the way dust settled on the U key and made it kind of off-centered with all the other ones. And it would frequently happen with all the documents he would type up. He's like, yeah, so that actually matches a document that would have been printed here. At this base, at this installation.
It's like the book Misery by Stephen
King?
Yes. The letter N didn't work on Paul's typewriter, so he had to write it in his transcript for Misery.
Oh, Paul, I've read everything of yours, but the Misery novels.
It's wild, though. So, I mean, there's actual forensic witness evidence here anyway that this document seems to be the real deal. And if you are going to believe from the different testimonies that this is, this document is the real thing, then you have to believe what's in the document, which is talking about cooperation between the U.S. government and aliens. I mean, my gosh, from 1954. So,
I mean, even President Reagan was explaining and talking about that we need to address this. And
he did. That's true.
And, you know, venture into the idea that there may be extraterrestrials out there.
Right.
And I think that this next topic, I mean, this guy is either George Hamilton or he is Valiant Thor. He's this good-looking guy.
Boy.
I mean, you have to see his picture.
Yes, we're going to have the Valiant Thor's picture on the website as well.
I love his name.
Oh, yes.
I'm Valiant Thor.
Well, for those of us who were good friends of Valiant Thor, we called him Val.
Oh,
okay,
Val,
Karen.
Excuse
yes.
me.
Yes. So there's...
Val Thor here.
That's right, Val Thor. So who the heck?
Who the, yeah.
What the heck? Who the heck is Valiant Thor? Why are we talking about comic books? No. So what this is, so if you haven't heard it.
It's not like the Thor with the big hammer.
No, we're not talking about, you know, Chris Hemsworth and Marvel. This is something that goes back to 1957. A man that came to be known as Valiant Thor.
He looked like an actor, and he's really tan.
Good-looking guy, very sharp-dressed, nice, you know, slick-back hair, things like that. Just really, really good appearance about him. And he came, again, this is the way the story goes. I'm just repeating the story. That's what we do here. He shows up in 1957, and his goal was to talk to the leaders of the world and talk to religious leaders of the world and make their presence known. So who's they? Valiant Thor, according to the stories, was a Venusian, which is somebody from Venus.
Not from the surface, though, from inside the planet.
Correct. So,
and by the way, Venus, is, as I told you in the first episode, is the number one mistaken UFO. Here on Earth, we see Venus and, oh, look, it's a flying saucer. Because it makes weird... It's seen like at sunset and sunrise.
Right,
and
it's true.
It's strange.
And it's very bright. So his claim was that he came from Venus. The civilization that he's from lives inside of Venus, like you were saying, Karen, because on the top of Venus, it's not very welcoming.
Habitable.
Yeah. So apparently, you know, the story goes, he goes to the Pentagon and he's talking to the leaders and all they cared about was technology. How do we reverse engineer all your technology for military use and things like that? And he's saying, no, I'm offering you solutions to your problems. I'm offering you how to achieve world peace.
So he's like the antithesis of our mankind. He
Correct.
Doesn't have any fingerprints.
Right.
No palm prints. His hands. He says those are marks of man.
Right.
And then he's very attractive. And, you know, unlike mankind, he's less violent than mankind. And he was here to protect man from himself, specifically from nuclear destruction. And they didn't want to hear it.
Right.
He wanted to talk to governments. Powerful governments. He wanted to talk to people at universities and anything, any university or college of merit. He also wanted to talk to religious people. Like, he wanted to talk to the Pope.
Right.
And the one guy that did have a religious background did speak with him. And Frank Chile is just talking about him, but he's talking about the guy that actually met him. And I've got sound of the guy that met Valiant Thor and of Frank Chile describing the
Beautiful.
Meeting. And here is the story. Apparently, they had a photo of him, and the guy was talking about Valiant Thor, and this woman walks up to him and says...
At the end of the lecture, people were crowding around him, asking him questions, and a woman approached him and said, Dr. Strangers, I need to talk to you immediately. And Dr. Strangers said, well, I'm with some people right now. Can you wait? And she said, no, I must talk to you immediately. So he excused himself from the other people, and he went into the office, and she said, the photograph of the person that you're showing is asking to meet with you. And she said, I have an assignment to bring you to the Pentagon. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to pick you up at 8 o'clock, and you're going to be meeting this individual.
And he didn't have any clearance, but he still got in. And you heard him talk, this guy wants to meet with you.
Right.
At the Pentagon. Now, Valiant Thor also didn't have the fingerprints and the handprints, and he also could see through walls and go walk through walls. So
Correct.
They couldn't contain him in the Pentagon.
Right.
But he stayed there.
He stayed there.
He could leave. He could come and go.
And they say that he always got a kick out of how they would kind of keep him there in his own room, and he thought to himself, I could leave anytime I want. You know, they're using human technology to keep me in here, and he could just walk out if he wanted to.
And he had a weird dialect, not spoken anywhere on Earth, but an extremely attractive. I think I've said that 5 times now.
I think you have.
Oh my goodness.
And you can be a judge of that because, again, his picture will be on 850WFTL.com on the UAP blog. Just search on the UAP podcast.
A color and a black and white.
That's right. And the clip you heard there was from Frank Chile, and he was on, what was it? I think the Jeff Rentz program.
Right.
And he was describing basically his encounter with the name you heard there, Dr. Strangest, which I know this all sounds fake, right? Dr. Strange.
Thor. Love, right? Oh my God. What's happening?
I swear this isn't a Marvel story, but it just so happens that they called him Valiant Thor. If this is 1957, okay, comic books with Thor. I'm not even sure if Thor was a character yet. You might be a comic book nerd and be yelling at me and saying, what are you talking about? Thor came out in 1950. I don't know off the top of my head.
And he was bisexual.
Really?
No.
Interesting. Okay, no. Oh, that's not true. Okay, I was going to say, you didn't. You know, a fact I didn't.
So, no, that only happened recently.
Oh, yes, yes. The Superman comic, I see now. And then so aside from that, and again, the guy that, you know, was at this meeting that Frank Chilly is talking about is at this conference with pictures of Valiant Thor. That's Dr. Strangis. And he was kind of, you know, enthusiast about all this stuff, an author and looking into everything.
The comic book stuff does beg to question Thor. And then you've got Superman who can see with X-ray vision.
Right.
There's all these things that are kind of mirrored in comic books of what we're talking about.
It is interesting because now Superman, I know, did come out before 1957. So, you know, again, maybe somebody's making that up because, oh, you know, let's give him Superman's powers when we talk about him. I don't know. Now, Dr. Strangis there was the guy in the conference and they told him, hey, we want to take you to meet this guy that you're holding up the picture of because he wants to talk to you. I mean, could you imagine?
No. And he had no clearance. He walked in with this woman who was with the FBI right behind her, and they let him in. But apparently, Thor, Valiant Thor, arrived in Virginia February 1957.
Right.
And he was offering solutions to disease, poverty,
right,
engineering tips. He was a guest at the Pentagon for 3 years.
That's correct.
And Dr. Strangis, he says that they couldn't contain him. They couldn't lock him up. He could escape whenever he wanted to. And apparently, even his suit prevented laser.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things, again, that the U.S. government, the, you know, Pentagon officials were just more concerned about how can we use you for military technology? How can we use you to win wars and things like that? Instead of them saying, you want to end poverty and bring peace in the world?
That won't be good for the economy.
And that's actually right. And that was actually, well, supposedly a quote from Nixon. And
I mean, how much money did we spend on our military? $1 trillion.
Oh my gosh. And I believe it was Nixon was the vice president at that time, and they're like, no, this isn't good for the economy if we fix all the world's problems. What?
No.
Thanks a lot,
then
guys.
We need government if we don't have problems,
right,
that we can create. So what's interesting though about the mark of mankind, the fingerprints and stuff,
right,
listen to why Valiant Thor doesn't have them.
There's a person standing there wearing a suit. And he turns around and starts walking to Dr. Frank and extends his hand. He says, Dr. Strangis, it's very nice to meet you. And he said, my name is Valiant Thor. So he shook hands with him, and he looked down, and he noticed that this person didn't have any palm prints or any fingerprints. He said, smooth as a baby. Mm-hmm. And he said, how come you don't have any marks on your hands? And Valiant said to him, palm prints and fingerprints are the mark of mankind. We do not have that. Hmm. And Dr. Strangis said, what do you mean you don't have that? And he said, we never stop walking with the Lord. And
he said what?
That really, he said, we never stop walking with the Lord. And it completely took Dr. Strangis by surprise.
Stopped walking with the Lord. Huh.
Right. So again, that was from the Jeff Rentz program when he had on Frank Chilly, who was describing all this. And so that makes you, okay, wait a minute, what does that mean? Like, I know when we first heard that, we kind of took a step back. And just like you heard in the program there, the host, Jeff Rentz, was like, wait, okay, that's interesting. So if you want to believe this story, if you want to buy into some of this story, maybe parts of it, maybe all of it, then you have to ask yourself, so is the Venusians were also created by God?
So I guess like, they can go commit a crime and they will never be detected. I don't know.
Well,
they won't commit crimes, they walk with the Lord.
I see the way, maybe. The way I took that is, and now look, you know, I'm not going to get into religious beliefs and all those different
the
things.
Mark of mankind.
But if you want to look just toward the Bible, just using it as a theory here, if you want to look toward the Bible and the story of Adam and Eve, okay, this is just the way I took it. And you think about, well, the story of original sin and Adam and Eve being tempted by the serpent and eating the apple from, you know, the tree of life and breaking God's commandment. So that means that we're not walking with the Lord. So does that mean that the Venusians, the people who live in Venus, like Valiant Thor, did they keep God's commandment? Are they living in paradise?
They didn't eat the apple.
They didn't eat the apple? Is that what that means? So, and maybe that's what, again, if we're going to believe the story, maybe that's what Valiant Thor meant by fingerprints are the mark of mankind. We still walk with the Lord. That's just my theory. So again, there was never that comment from Valiant Thor, that supposed comment from, it was allegedly made by Valiant Thor, was never explained. So that's just me kind of theorizing. It makes sense in my mind, but if you're looking at, you know, bringing in God and creation, then
we have original sin, we can never walk with the Lord.
Right. So, I mean, and that's where, you know, you start to talk about redemption and all those things. But that makes sense to me. Maybe they didn't, if you believe the Bible stories and everything, maybe that means that they didn't break God's commandment and eat from the tree of life, so to speak. They didn't eat the apple.
It's all intertwined. And Valiant Thor wanted to talk to religious leaders, leaders of countries, and also academics. And this is Dr. Strangest,
yes,
in his own words. That's about right. Meeting Valiant Thor.
He told me his name was Valiant Thor. He grabbed my hand. His hand was skin soft as a lady's or a baby's skin, but it was a grip of a man. And we spent 30 minutes, mostly me asking questions and he giving answers. And he claimed that he was from the inside of the planet that our Bible calls the morning and the evening star, the planet Venus. He said, yes. Mr. Thor was at the Pentagon for 3 years, mind you, and he was going and coming at will. He was brought to the President of the United States, Dwight Eisenhower, and Richard Nixon, offered to give them information on how the American people could successfully live without sickness, without poverty, without disease, and without death. They told him, we're sorry that we cannot accept the information that you're freely giving us because it will ruin the economy of this nation. Well, sir, a Commander Thor left on the morning of March 16, 1960, on the outskirts of Alexandria, Virginia, where his spaceship came down. He went into the spaceship and disappeared from sight.
Unbelievable. And just like that, so three years spent.
We don't want to get rid of disease.
No, why would
and
we?
Death.
No.
That's bad for the economy.
How about, just side note, how about that organ music there in that clip?
What would doctors and morticians do?
Right. I mean, it is an interesting thought. Again, we just present the stories to you. You decide if this is, you know, real or not in your own mind. But if you want to, let's just go with everything that we've heard here on Valiant Thor is 100% fact. Okay, let's just use that as our ground right now to move forward with the theory here. And that if he's there talking to them and saying, we have a way, we have the technology, we understand how to end disease, how to end poverty, how to give you peace on earth, and you are presented with that as a government official, as president or vice president, and you say, now we're good.
Yeah, now we're good.
Because that's gonna change our way of life. The elites here in Washington, we like the way things are because people have to depend on us and we have power because of these things. So if you take these things away, well, what happens to our power? What happens to our government system and things like that? It's infuriating to think.
Well, infuriating. Can you imagine Valiant Thor going back to Venus, to the center of Venus, and telling his people, the Venusians, yeah, well, I went to Earth and I, you know, told them that we had solutions for everything, and you know what? They didn't want to hear it.
They didn't want it. And when it comes to talking to religious leaders,
stupid Earth people.
When it comes to talking to the religious leaders, apparently the story goes, when he went to the Vatican, because he got to speak to some officials at the Vatican, they kind of told him, "You do your thing, we'll do our thing."
Really?
Like,
the,
you know,
Pope said,
yes, like, we get it. We both have the same God.
Oh, that wouldn't be good for Catholicism.
But we don't really feel like explaining this, so
we like to have them living in guilt.
I just oh, it's all too true.
So they can tithe.
it's amazing though, isn't it? Like, even on the Vatican end, okay? And yet, look, for this subject, I will readily tell you that I am a Catholic. So,
yes, he's our resident Catholic.
Yes. So when
I'm a Lutheran. I don't have the Pope. I just go right to the big guy.
Right. So when it comes to the Vatican part of it, I feel like I can speak on this, in that imagine being in that position and saying, no, we want to hide the truth of other life on other planets because we don't feel like explaining to everybody, well, yes, God created life here on Earth, but he also created life on Venus and on Zeta Reticuli and wherever else. And then people start questioning and thinking, well, if God created all over here, then how many worlds are there? And, you know, how many beings are there? And so I feel like the people who run the world, essentially, didn't feel like complicating things and just kept
to start answering questions.
They kept the status quo.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
We can't go down that rabbit hole.
And which would explain why, Karen, all of this to begin with,
yes,
has always been covered up,
yes,
over centuries.
You just can't go there.
I guess not, huh?
You mean you've had a cure for cancer this whole time?
Right.
What are you talking about?
Right, exactly. So I often wonder, because I've known the story of Valiant Thor for years now, and I often wonder, I wonder if he came back, if he ever wanted to come back. When he left...
No, he probably went, I'm out of here.
Did he just shake his head in disgust and like, man, screw you guys. You're never going to see me again. I tried to help you and you turned me down.
You can't teach stupid.
Oh, gosh. It's just so frustrating. But that is, again, that story is it's a whopper, you know, as we normally have here on the show.
It's a whopper. Next week, we want to talk about Devil's Tower, if you saw the movie...
Close Encounters of the Third Kind, right? Yeah.
Yeah. What is that thing?
So, it's one of those famous landmarks, because we all, we've talked before about Stonehenge and Easter Island, the pyramids, you know, the usual things when it comes to, oh, it's aliens. But we don't really focus enough on landmarks in the United States that might have connections to UAP, UFO phenomenon, and extraterrestrials as a whole. So we're going to focus on a few of those next week, and one of them being the spot there from Close Encounters of the Third Kind in what, Butte, I think it is?
In Butte, Montana.
And other spots. Like, did you know, Karen, that there may or may not be secret caves in the Grand Canyon with proof of alien life?
No.
And no one is allowed in.
Of course not.
Why would they be, right? Because that would that would upset the status quo.
There might be an answer to world peace in there.
God forbid, right?
Yeah.
It's just so frustrating. Nice. But you can hear this and all the other episodes of UAP on Apple, Spotify, 850WFTL.com. Make sure to search out UAP on 850WFTL.com to see all the pictures and photos, everything from today's episode and all the previous episodes as well.
Yeah. You have to see the picture of Valiant Thor.
Yeah.
You mentioned he's very good.
You did mention that, yes. But I look forward to next time right here on UAP, the Unidentified Alien Podcast. Karen Curtis over there, Stephen Diener over here. Talk to you again next time.
Thanks for listening.